Canada's top tech expert turns geek speak into street speak. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Hey everyone, welcome to Tech Talk. Hope you're doing great this weekend and making the most out of it. Whether you're a longtime listener or new to the show, welcome. As the announcer says, you don't need to be tech savvy to enjoy a program called Tech Talk, believe it or not, as we break down tech trends into plain English. I'm not a fan of, you know, megapixel this, gigahertz that, terabyte this, who needs it? We do have a great show planned for you this hour. We're going to kick things off with LG to talk TVs. What's new with them, including OLED? Thin as in. After that, scanmyphotos.com chats about the importance of digitizing your old paper photos and a new service that they have for Canadians. On the back half of Tech Talk, we're joined by Skybound Entertainment, the creators of The Walking Dead, Invincible, and much more, and how they've been successful in creating cross-platform entertainment. And finally on Tech Talk, a Canadian company is producing drone shows instead of fireworks, and so we'll touch base with Illumin. All of this and more on an all-new Tech Talk powered by Epson Canada, the creators of the EcoTank family of all-in-one printers, which I'll tell you more about shortly. But let's officially kick off this week's show with our first interview. We love our TVs, but if it's been a few years since you've bought one or even looked at one closely at retail, wow, you are going to be blown away by their size, clarity, brightness, contrast, and color. This is especially true for LG's OLED TVs, now celebrating 10 years, as it's like night and day compared to other brands and their technologies. And so I wanted to invite back onto the show Jill Pereira, senior go-to market manager at LG. Good to chat with you again, Jill. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Mark. It's great to be here, as always. I always look forward to talking to you. So, yeah.
Awesome. Likewise. So with LG celebrating a decade of its OLED TVs, congrats, by the way, we have talked a lot about this panel technology over the years, often with you as my guest, Jill. So tell us, what should we get excited about when it comes to LG OLED?
Yeah, for sure. And I've been blessed to be part of this last decade of OLED. I was at the original launch party, actually, and it's definitely been a fantastic opportunity for me in my career to see it from its inception and each year that it's evolved from, you know, adding resolution, HDR formats, adding different form factors. And it's been exciting to see the new and latest and greatest that they've come out with each year. Mm-hmm. And this year is no different. We've actually come up with some fantastic new concepts, some new form factors, and some new picture quality improvements that are sure to be the leading edge in the industry for picture quality.
So again, after 10 years, I'm sure many of our listeners have heard of LG OLED, but for those who don't know the specifics, let's talk about what makes OLED special. For those less tech savvy, can you speak a bit about the key features of OLED technology?
For sure. So at the core, what makes it unique versus any other current TV technology is the pixels actually light individually. So they're self-lit pixels. Yeah, for some of your listeners, you might have heard that as an explanation at, you know, stores or online as they're researching for the TV that they're going to buy. But essentially what that means is each individual pixel gets its light individually. So the ability to create a perfect black image is incomparable, and no other TV in the market can get anywhere close to the same contrast ratio that an OLED can get. So non-OLEDs would use some kind of LED backlight system in conjunction with either an LED or a mini LED light source. So you'll hear things like full array, edge lit, direct lit, things of that nature. So OLED doesn't use any of those. It's individual pixel control. So on a 4K TV, you're actually talking about over 8 million individually lit pixels. So, you know, if you're comparing that to a full array TV, maybe it can control 100 zones, maybe 1,000 on a mini LED. So we're talking millions here. So the impact on the viewer's experience is drastic and very noticeable.
In other words, some TVs that have a backlight, many of them do, even when that pixel is black, because there's a backlight behind it, it can end up looking a little bit more gray or washed out, right? But with an OLED TV, when you want perfect black, it just turns itself off. So giving you that gorgeous deep blacks that we want, that depth in an image.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. And the first part of what I said when we started our conversation, a lot of the flexibility in things like form factor are because of that self-lit pixel structure. Mm-hmm. So there's less total parts to the TV. So from an environmental standpoint, it's actually much easier to recycle, and more of the materials are less toxic, but the flexibility. So we have transparent TVs, and that's strictly because we have this flexibility because of OLED self-lit pixels.
Yeah.
We've had curved OLED TVs. We have OLED TVs that roll up into an audio box. It also applies to gaming monitors. So now you're going to start to hear more and more about gaming monitors that are made with OLED technology versus LCD. So the sky's the limit really with OLED. And we've kind of gone back each year and looked at, hey, how can we make this even better this year? And that's, you know, we keep coming out with fantastic new leading technology with OLED kind of at the forefront.
Speaking of which, we've heard about LG OLED Gallery Series TVs. What's new about these this year?
The Gallery Series is remarkable. It's essentially taken our wallpaper TV from 2017, which for anybody listening that remembers, essentially it was a very thin panel, but it needed an external box to run the image on the screen. So we took that concept and we redesigned it. So now it's completely housed within the TV. It's about 19 millimeters from wall to screen, and it's completely uniform top to bottom. And it comes with a custom bracket in the box with the TV. So essentially it sits on your wall like a painting, like a piece of art. So that's been the form factor for a couple of years now. But what we've done this year is we've introduced a new light architecture, which is essentially putting these like little mirrors, if you were, on top of the light. So we're not doing anything really with the light itself. The reason why that's important is you don't want to overdrive the light source, and then the TV might actually prematurely wear out its lifespan. What we're doing is we're really harnessing the current light source using these little micro lenses. And we're talking billions of these little micro lenses with a B. And what that's giving you is a much higher peak luminance. So we're talking up to 70% brighter than a non-OLED Evo, a non-LG OLED Evo model. So let's say a B series as an example. So that's going to give you drastically better picture quality. The off-angle viewing is also shockingly better than, for sure, non-OLED TVs, but even our non-OLED Evo models. It's quite noticeable. And then even just things like color reproduction and color accuracy and how that remains consistent regardless of the content you're watching. It's a quite stunning TV, and we're already seeing lots of great reviews on the G series model for this year.
We're chatting with Jill Pereira, senior go-to market manager at LG. We're talking about the 10th anniversary of LG OLED and the benefits of this panel technology over other kinds of TVs. So compared to the LG OLED Gallery series that you just shared with us, Jill, the Objet TVs, OBJET, that's a whole other sort of animal, right? Can you talk to us how it works and some of the benefits that this form provides?
For sure. So Objet is kind of an umbrella of products across categories. So we have home entertainment products like TVs. We have appliance products, kind of a unique lifestyle focus or solution for these products. So specifically within our home entertainment product assortment, we have a product called the Posé. So essentially, we're taking what has been seen to be the best picture quality in the industry. So you have an LG OLED Evo, similar to what we would have in our C series as the picture, but it's housed within this very beautiful interior design focused form factor. So it's this kind of like white and beige, very rounded edge on an easel. So it kind of looks like almost like a piece of art. It was actually picked and used in a recent art gallery showcase in Milan, the MUI, I think that's how you pronounce it, the MUI art showcase. It was one of the focus feature products that was used in conjunction with the art experience there. So it's definitely not a conventional TV. You don't just, you know, take it out of the box and mount it onto the wall. It kind of fits into whatever interior concept you already have going on. There's even like a media shelf on the back of it. So if you did want to put like, I don't know, an internet router or a cable box, kind of stylize it a little bit. So if you have color matching kind of lifestyle focus in your interior design, you can put maybe a vinyl record or a book to kind of color match with the wall, or maybe some accent pillows you might have. Yeah, the overall tip is quite interesting.
That's cool. I remember talking with you about that. Any other LG products, Jill, that have you excited this year?
Yeah, so one of the most exciting products that I've seen in the last few years, actually, because I think essentially once you see a TV, I mean, obviously the picture quality gets better and the form factors get slimmer, and there's all these things that kind of stay within the same framework of a standard TV. It's you know, it's going to be mounted on your wall or it's going to be put on a table. And the way the TV works is pretty standard within that framework. Not much has changed. Whereas we have launched this new TV called the Stand By Me, which essentially is a combination of maybe a large tablet and a TV combined. So it's housed on a kind of a rolling stand or a rollable stand. So you can actually move it anywhere within your living space. It does have these wheels on the base, so it's very easy to move around. It has a built-in 3-hour battery. It's, you know, Wi-Fi enabled, obviously all these things that you would expect from a TV. So it has your streaming services, your Netflixes, your Disneys, et cetera. It also has AirPlay. So if you don't have an app on our webOS platform that you like to use, you can use it on your phone and just AirPlay that directly to the TV. It's very, very interesting. It's one of those things you might not know you need before you see it. But once you see it and you see all the different applicable use cases for it, one that really comes to mind that resonates with me, I have a lot of friends with kids that, you know, they don't necessarily want to have a TV in their bedroom because they want to make sure that, you know, maybe they're controlling what they're watching or they want them to be more integrated with the family. So this to me is interesting. You could maybe roll in the TV for TV time for an hour, let's say, and then, you know, you can roll it out at the end of the night or, you know, when it's time to get back to homework or what have you, right? And there's so many different use cases for it. It also can rotate, so vertical or horizontal orientation. So depending on the use case, you can, you know, I'm watching a yoga video, want to know how to do some of these different poses, roll it into the gym that you have in the house or onto the patio as you're having some guests over maybe for a summer evening.
All right, Jill, thank you so much again for your time. Always great chatting with you, and I always learn something too. For the folks at home, where can we learn more about the latest innovations in LG's OLED TV lineup?
If I can actually thank you for that, because it's a huge compliment coming from someone like yourself.
Thanks,
Jill. Years in the industry, so I'm very flattered anytime you give me a compliment.
But thanks, Jill.
For any additional information, head over to lg.ca.
All right, lg.ca. Jill Pereira has been our guest. Thank you once again, Jill. Always a pleasure. All the best. Be well.
Thank you so much. You too.
Talk with scanmyphotos.com when we return. Stick with us on Tech Talk.
Canada's top tech expert. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Welcome back to Tech Talk, powered by Epson EcoTank, one of the biggest innovations in the printer space to date. If you have not yet heard of the EcoTank family of all-in-one printers, which of course are also scanners and copiers, out of the box, they ship with up to 2 years worth of ink. When it's time to buy more ink, they're in bottles instead of cartridges, saving you up to 80%. Epson EcoTank printers work wirelessly with all your devices. Check out Epson EcoTank printers in store now or online at epson.ca/EcoTank. No doubt you still have paper photos in your home, whether they're in photo albums, behind glass and picture frames, or maybe you've got a shoebox of loose memories. And so for the past 30 plus years, our next guest, Mitch Goldstone, CEO of scanmyphotos.com, has been digitizing your precious memories, so you don't have to. And so I wanted to invite Mitch back onto the show to chat about the process. Welcome back, Mitch. Good to chat with you again.
Mark, great to be here. Thanks for everything you do with Tech It Out. Really good content.
Oh, I appreciate that. And it is a pleasure having you back on. And I think the work that you do is incredibly important. But before we talk about Scan My Photos, why is it important for people to digitize their paper photos?
I just was speaking to someone this morning. This could sum it up. It's a family that's trying to help their very elderly parents downsize. They have an entire closet full of all those old 35 millimeter slide carousels, home movies, photos. And it's really important to preserve it while they're alive. So once digitized, they can narrate, share the stories, everyone can get together and experience just a lifetime through all those old photos.
So it's a way of preserving them, you know, in case they're damaged, say in a, heaven forbid, but a fire or a flood or what have you. It's a way for people to pass on these memories down from generation to generation in a format that's a lot more convenient and familiar to kids and grandkids to share and to save these digital photos. And then often you can fix these photos up as well, which we'll get to in a moment. Now, what would you say, Mitch, is the biggest mistake people make when they try to do it themselves? Because that is an option for someone to scan. You know, go through all those photos, which could take a real long time.
It is, Mark. The number one answer is certainly time. It seems like an easy project, but we're dealing with people that have thousands and thousands of photos, 35 millimeter slides. And the first two or three are easy, but you know, it's kind of like why people go out to dine at a restaurant. You can cook at home, but it's so much easier to have professionals do it for you. And it's effortless because, you know, we're the professionals. We've preserved a billion pictures, and it's so much easier and simple to have a professional photo scanning service digitize all your content.
Wow. Okay. A billion photos. Are you referring to your 30 plus years of experience with scanmyphotos.com?
That's right. And we keep track of everything, but it keeps on growing. So it's photos, it's 35 millimeter slides, medium format, traditional 35 millimeter negatives, home movies as well.
But a billion with a B. That's how many photos or pieces of media you've backed up for your customers.
Yeah, you know, for me, I just say that easily. But, you know, when someone hears that, that's a lot. It seems like a lot, but there's so many more when you think of everyone that have all the photo albums, closets, boxes full of all those that are just sitting there that haven't been done yet. So we now digitize new technology, 35 millimeter slides at 4,000 DPI, one every second, and photos are digitized 2 every second on each one of these scanners.
Right. DPI stands for dots per inch. So the higher the number, the more detail in a photo. That's really important to note. Thanks for that.
Right. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Mitch, we are chatting with Mitch Goldstone from scanmyphotos.com, based in, I believe you're in beautiful Irvine, California. Is that right?
Yes.
Walk us through the entire process. So there's somebody listening right now that says, okay, I'm ready to send these off. What's the process like?
Sure. We made it so easy. If you see on the website, it's all new at scanmyphotos.com. You choose whatever product that you want, whether it's photos. I think we're going to get into in our newest service for everyone in Canada. Once we get it back, you have all types of choices, kind of like a restaurant again, where instant uploading. So as soon as everything's digitized, it's returned to you. And that, Mark, unfortunately, came about during COVID. We're dealing with so many people whose family members passed away, and they couldn't wait weeks.
All right. So a couple things to unpack here, Mitch. The box that you would send, if that's the option you go with for US customers only, about how many paper photos would you say a box can hold?
Sure. It's over 1,800 photos. It's as low as $220, include shipping for that. The nice thing is on the website, we have all the information to walk you through the entire process, plus all the live support.
Yeah, that's important. And then you digitize them, and then you, the same day that you get them, you were saying, then would someone get a link to download them?
That's it.
And then you send back the originals with some physical media as well, like a thumb drive or a, I don't know if a recordable DVD is still the way to go anymore.
It is. And we do have the DVD data disk, 8 gigabyte thumb drive, as well as the instant uploaded. So exactly as you described it. So you get an email, and that's actually our biggest complaint, which is kind of a funny one. People think there's something wrong with the order when they select same day scanning. And we explain to them that email they just got are all of their files, all digitized. And, you know, that, so they're pretty happy.
No doubt. And then how would you recommend people best prepare to use your services? I guess the first step is to collect everything, but should you segregate the photos into, you know, piles and then with elastic bands, or can you walk us through that part?
It's so easy. So when you have your photos, collect them, put them in piles. Really easy to count as if you just count 100 of them and stack all the others next to it. Each pile will be about 100. Use a rubber band, just put it around it. Make sure to use an index card and write down what's on those photos, whether it's a holiday, birthday party, special celebration. And those are digitized too. Select scan in order, and then everything is digitized in order for that.
So if I wrote, you know, Mexico 2010 or something like that, then do you use that word at all for me then to search? On that note, if somebody sends you some VHS tapes or even older and they want you to digitize them, is there a menu on that DVD or is it a raw, just like, you know, folder with files inside?
Just the files. And because we don't know if someone doesn't have the index card, you know, who the people are in the photos. So there are so many free services right now. Just Google how to bulk list your files. And it's really easy. So you could just go through it from that. But it's kind of cool too. So on the movie film scanning, we actually digitize every frame. So because we're now content providers for all the photo sharing apps, when someone wants to have an individual image from the 8 or 16 millimeter film, it's actually each image is digitized. So they can upload that and the quality is awesome.
All right. Now, before we wrap up, let's just cover again for our Canadian listeners what they can do to leverage scanmyphotos.com. So not the box option where you have it delivered to your home and you fill up the box and send it back. How do Canadians get their photos and videos off to you to digitize?
Just go to the Scan My Photos website, choose either photos or slides. You'll see the option also under frequently asked questions for Canadian customers, and just click on that. All the information is there, the order form, everything. As soon as everything is completed, it's sent back to you the same way. And also to save on money, if you don't want the photos back, we actually discard and shred them after several months. So you can request that just to have it uploaded to you to save on that. But it's really easy. We have, of course, the Canadian flag all over. So really happy with that.
All right. And then when the photos are uploaded to the cloud or video, does the customer have a certain amount of time in which to download it? Because you don't keep it there for them, do you?
We do based on what they want. So most people, just as an added safety precaution, just 5 days, people can opt for 6 months or a year, whatever they choose for that. And then we archive those. They're all secured, encrypted, everything really very important about privacy. And then you have access to all of that.
Okay. And then for pricing, you already hinted at a couple of options earlier, but it's all at scanmyphotos.com. It's been a pleasure chatting with you, Mitch. Thank you so much for everything that you do and for taking out some time to chat with us today.
Mark, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
That website again is scanmyphotos.com, and be sure to tell Mitch that you heard him on Tech Talk. When we return on the program, DA, or David Alpert, from Skybound Entertainment on cross-platform entertainment. Yes, Skybound. They're the creators of The Walking Dead, Invincible, and many others. So stick with us. All coming up momentarily on Tech Talk.
Whether you're shopping around or looking for the on button, he can help. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Two of the hottest entertainment properties so far this year, The Last of Us and the Super Mario Brothers movie, were of course based on video games. And hey, what about The Walking Dead comic book series becoming an awesome TV show and game series as well? Well, I thought it would be an intriguing discussion to explore the world of cross-media entertainment with my next guest, none other than David Alpert, or DA, CEO of Skybound Entertainment, the creators of Invincible and The Walking Dead and others. Hey, DA, thanks so much for joining us today.
Mark, thank you so much for having me on.
Pleasure. Hey, before we talk about the popularity of cross-media entertainment today, tell us a bit about Skybound.
So Skybound is a creator-focused, multi-platform entertainment company. We do everything from comic books and video games to film and television shows, merchandise, podcasts, and more. We own and operate over 150 IP, or intellectual properties, but our biggest ones would be The Walking Dead, Invincible, and Impact Winter.
Wow. So you produce this show, The Walking Dead, for example, for AMC, and that's based on a comic book. Was that your original intellectual property as well?
Yeah, so my business partner, Robert Kirkman, created The Walking Dead.
Of course.
So Skybound, our company, publishes a comic book, The Walking Dead. We produce the TV show. We make, develop, and license and publish video games. We've done everything from, we've had a cruise based on The Walking Dead. We've had The Walking Red wine. We've had Walking Dead bourbon. I've made swords and baby onesies.
Both ends of the spectrum there. All right. So exactly. Games that become TV shows or movies, as I touched on off the top, it really can be hit or miss. Let's face it. I'm so happy to see that this year, both The Last of Us and Super Mario were examples of cross-media entertainment done right. How do you think they achieve this?
Well, I think, first of all, we're living in an age where the technology that's involved in making these shows and movies is just absolutely mind-blowing compared to where it was before. So, you know, it used to be, in, let's say, in the 90s, if a movie had, let's say, 200 VFX shots or visual effects shots in there, that was a massive blockbuster. That's like a Jurassic Park-type movie. Today, a little indie might have 400 to 500 shots, and a big franchise movie like Super Mario is probably thousands and thousands and thousands of shots, right? So just the sheer volume of the amount of computer work that we could put into a film and TV show is just mind-blowing compared to previous eras. So what that does is it allows things like zombies and monsters and animations to sort of just be at a much higher level. So I think that's part of it. But I also think that, you know, as video games themselves have sort of progressed, you've gotten a richer world and a deeper tapestry to explore.
Because previously it was kind of like, well, just because you can license something doesn't mean you should.
That's right.
But it's funny because I think everything is a bit incestuous, or at least everything is influencing everything else. So I would argue that The Last of Us video game was probably influenced by The Walking Dead. And then in turn, The Last of Us TV show on HBO was kind of like Walking Dead in a sense. So I don't know how you feel about that. Is it flattering? Is it annoying when you see another IP, another intellectual property that maybe Skybound doesn't own? What's your take on, for example, The Last of Us and its success?
Well, honestly, for me, like, you know, I'm a genre fan. I grew up watching, reading like science fiction and fantasy and horror. Mm-hmm. And I never felt like I was a comic book kid and a video game kid. I always felt like those things were sort of on the outside. You were a nerd or a geek if you liked the things that I liked.
Yeah.
And whereas now it's like, I just love the fact that what formerly was shunned and, you know, on the periphery is now mainstream entertainment, right?
Yeah.
It's everyone's talking about it. So like, the little kid inside of me is jumping for joy every time I go. I'm like, wow, there's all these movies and TV shows based off of the things and properties that I absolutely adore.
Yeah, fair enough. And then just going back to being influenced, it could be argued that The Walking Dead was influenced by Evil Dead, right? And Evil Dead was influenced by Night of the Living Dead, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, I guess we all borrow elements from other influential pieces of content. But I've talked to some creators who resent when something looks too much like their own IP, but it sounds like you're good with it.
You know, I would say there's two things I look at. One is, I'd say the only original thought was had by Adam, right? And everything else is since then has been part of a conversation.
Adam, so, like Adam and Eve?
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And so I feel like everything since then is part of this ongoing dialogue and conversation. So mm-hmm. like some people argue in the zombie community, and by the way, there is a zombie community and it's very, very vocal. The zombie community says that, you know, some people say Romero is really sort of the birth of the modern zombie.
Yeah.
And he is, except that there was a whole tradition of zombie stories and zombie movies that preceded him that he yep. actually did his own unique take on. So,
sure. And books and radio shows. I listen and collect old radio shows from the 30s and 40s and 50s, and they had stories about zombies then as well. They were tied more to voodoo. So yeah, I didn't know that it went that far back, by the way.
And you know, again, I do think Romero is clearly the godfather of at least the modern era of zombies. And you know, the way that it sort of divorces from sort of the Haitian voodoo rituals and sort of really focusing more on like cultural issues. And I always thought that was great. And I think Last of Us addresses that. I think Walking Dead addresses that. So by no means do we have a monopoly on the zombie
yeah,
genre.
Fair enough.
And the same thing like with Invincible. Invincible is very clearly our comment on the superhero genre and sort of the coming of age genre. Like, so we've taken very well-worn tropes and just have done them in completely different ways. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So you've touched on the fact that games, for example, they've matured and they're not just, you know, hack and slash or run and gun. There's some depth to the characters. I'm paraphrasing. But in terms of a business model, why do you think so many entertainment companies are now one bit of content and creating other content based on a game, for example? Is it because they have a better chance of being successful among gamers who are going to pay to watch that movie, even if it's not good? Like, is it just like a no-brainer?
I think we're in this attention economy, right? Where the signal-to-noise ratios are all out of whack. So trying to get something to cut through these days is really, really hard. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a famous line where I think it was, one of the heads of Netflix was saying that they view their competition as Fortnite, right?
Sure.
And they view their competition as sleep. And I think that those things are all true, right? Where, you know, growing up in the monoculture that I did in, you know, the 70s and 80s, you look at that world and there's, you know, there was three channels, right? There's a couple local channels, right? But there, you know, if there was a big game on or a big movie out, that movie would be in the theater for like a year, right? Like I remember going to see Indiana Jones in the theater, I don't know, about a year and a half, it felt like at least. And, you know, today a movie, if it doesn't hit, is, you know, is in and out of theaters in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So it's like just this, the pace of this all catches up. So then you have these massive budgets. How do you cut through? So people go for this term they use called pre-awareness. And I think for they look at like, oh, wow, all these people have invested in games. The same reason why best-selling books get turned into movies and TV shows. Sure. They're looking for some way to say, hey, people already are familiar with this brand. Mm-hmm. Why are they going to go over there?
We are chatting with DA, CEO of Skybound Entertainment. What would you say, DA, your most successful body of work is? Walking Dead?
You know, I would say Walking Dead and Invincible. Okay. And I really have to put them both together because they really follow the same path. And ultimately that is the things that we were doing, no one had done at that time, right? So we talked, there had been plenty of zombie things prior, but no one had put on a serialized horror show on television. Mm-hmm. There had been anthologies, right? You know, Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt, etc., which I loved.
I'm a huge Twilight Zone fan, by the way.
I went back and rewatched all the originals with my kids, and like, it was so awesome.
All 156 episodes?
We did. And the funny thing is, in the first episode, my kids go, "What's a phone booth?"
That's hilarious. You're referring to the episode called Where Is Everybody? Where,
yes,
where there's a guy walking around town and there's nobody there and it's freaking him out. It turns out he's in an isolation booth. He's an astronaut in preparation to go into space by himself for a long time, and he's snapped. So you don't know what's going on as the viewer until that little twist at the end. Yeah, so I'm a huge geek. I apologize. Off topic here, but I'm glad that you're a fan of that. And Tales of the Crypt to a much lesser extent, but I'm a big Rod Serling nerd. So thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, no. Awesome. But I was just saying, so like, you know, so Walking Dead, like, you know, we were the first serialized horror show. And then with Invincible, we did this other thing where it's like we had an hour-long 2D ultra-violent cartoon, right? And people are like, no, it's got to be half hour, or it's got to be not so violent, or it's got to be 3D. We're like, no, this should look like that thing that you watched after school when you were a kid, except the characters are completely real and the violence is absolutely insane and it all ties back together. And so looking at finding what we consider to be white space and pressing the boundaries, how stories are told, that to me is, I would say, the most impressive body of work that Skybound has put out there.
Awesome. Congrats. With that in mind, when it comes to cross-media entertainment, what can others learn from Skybound?
Well, I think the sort of the best practices to take away from Skybound is, one, keep the creator involved, right? Having the creator be an active participant in the production is huge. Because so often you'll find traditional media companies say, thank you, creator, for the great work you did. We're going to go reinvent the wheel over here. Mm-hmm. And that's time and time again. Really smart people make that error over and over.
More with DA from Skybound Entertainment when we return on Tech Talk.
Get the most out of your gadgets. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman on News Talk Radio. CJAD 800.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. We're just wrapping up with DA, David Alpert from Skybound Entertainment. It would be remiss for me not to ask you, DA, what's next from Skybound?
Well, the best thing for me is I've been working now. So, you know, Invincible, because it's animated, has taken longer to come out, but we have Invincible season 2 coming out very soon. I'm already working on season 3, which is absolutely insane and mind-blowing. So I can't wait for people to come see that. And then we had this huge hit that we did for Audible. It was an audio original, very much inspired by those 30 style radio shows that you were talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Called Impact Winter. Have you heard Impact Winter?
No. In researching my interview with you, I saw the audiobook portion on your website, but I haven't listened to that. I definitely will, because I'm a huge fan of audio. The theater of the mind. So yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah, and it was a big hit for us. And we now have a season 2 coming out this summer, which we're incredibly excited about.
Amazing.
And we're going to have a huge presence at Comic-Con because it's actually the 20th anniversary of both Walking Dead and Invincible this summer.
Wow. Just saw the CNN special, the 2010s, and they tipped their hat to The Walking Dead on AMC. I don't know if you saw that or worked with them on that.
No, that's awesome.
They were just saying how the network took a chance on a zombie serial and it paid off, much to what you were saying earlier. Okay, DA, so as we wrap up, where can we learn more about Skybound?
Well, the best place to go is republic.com/skybound. We're actually in the middle of something called a Regulation A financing raise. So our SEC audited financials are live on the site. Videos about all our upcoming things are live on the site. And we're actually driving to our close. That'll be announced tomorrow, actually. So that's the best place to go, republic.com/skybound.
All right, republic.com/skybound. Good luck with that. And it should be noted, it's open to anyone to invest, by the way. So good luck with that. If you're a fan of The Walking Dead or other Skybound properties, then that could be a cool thing to check out. Really great to chat with you, DA. Thanks so much for carving out some time to talk. All the best. Continued success.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
When you think about drones, you likely envision recreational drones that you can, you know, fly at a park and such. Or maybe if you're into military technology, you think about those kinds of drones, you know, during conflicts for surveillance or attacks. But there's so much more to drones, as we're going to hear about now with our next guest, who specializes in drones for public entertainment. We're joined by Christian Illumin. He's founder of Illumin, and he's a longtime advisor to the airline industry and aviation sector. Thanks for your time, Christian. Good to chat with you.
Thanks, Mark. Good to be here.
Sure. Before we talk about Illumin and what you do, let's just bring everyone up to speed about drones. What are some of the more popular applications for them?
So drones are remotely piloted aircraft systems in Canada that are known as RPAS. So they're really piloted aircraft through pilots that are not actually on board, but actually away from the aircraft itself. A lot of the applications currently that, you know, RPAS or drones are currently popular in our inspections, in monitoring, mapping and surveillance, and currently, you know, film and photography.
All right. So along with flying around drones for fun, they're used by real estate agents to capture footage of a property. Hollywood videographers may be using drones for those beautiful aerial shots. There's also drones used by farmers to drop seeds or fertilizer or for weed control from the sky. And even drones that may deliver packages to us one day when we order it online. But we're going to focus on your work in the entertainment space. So these are quadcopters that elevate the drone into the sky. And the drones that many Canadians may buy recreationally, they can be controlled with a controller in your hand, kind of like a joystick thing, or a smartphone, or both. And they often have a camera for capturing things that you may not otherwise be able to see. You've got a bird's eye view.
Yes, different heads for different applications. Mm-hmm. Ours particularly has an LED light as opposed to a camera, where it has multiple colors displayed, controlled through a program from the ground.
Yeah, so let's get into the work that you do in the entertainment space. Tell us about Illumin.
Yeah, so I've been in drones for about 2 years, and thought, after seeing a whole bunch of really amazing work at the Olympics and at the Super Bowl, that it'd be really amazing for us to get involved in drone swarming and look into getting drones into more of into the creative space, the creative element. So, you know, over the past 2 years, we've been able to put together a team of aviators and designers that are creating some awesome artistry using state-of-the-art technology. So Illumin is one of Canada's first drone entertainment companies. We currently focus on large scale of sporting events, concerts, and corporate branding experiences.
So any of my listeners who have watched the Super Bowl, if they looked into the sky, they would see like a light show almost going on. Is that what we're talking about here? Just because it's radio, maybe you can explain what we're seeing visually when there's a drone show going on.
So what it is, it's a coordinated group of drones that create 2D and 3D designs controlled by a computer. So for us, we've got over 200 drones, and it can create logos, a storyboard. One of the things we want to be able to do is tell stories in the sky. So really, it's anything you can really imagine. It's unlimited creativity, as long as you can be able to create it in, you know, a 2D or 3D program. You know, we can replicate that in the sky.
So this could be used during concerts or festivals, outdoor weddings?
Outdoor weddings, yes.
What did I miss in Picton, Ontario last month? I was thrilled to be invited, but I couldn't make it. I was traveling in the States. So you were putting on a show.
Yes, we did our launch. It was our launch show in Picton a couple weeks ago. Very exciting to be able to perform the 200 drones to our audience. We were able to have Base 31 as our host, and actually looking forward to a whole number of shows with them over the summer.
And what's Base 31, Christian?
So Base 31 is the Picton Airport, named Base 31, and there are hosts for all the drone shows this summer.
Oh, okay, great. And are drones better on the environment than fireworks? I would think it was like less noise pollution and smoke.
Very green, no smoke, no pollution.
No dogs hiding under the bed.
No consumables. Everything is reusable. And, you know, the batteries that we use are like the same batteries we use for the electric car. So very safe.
The batteries that you use in an electric car are in these drones. Wouldn't that be too heavy? Or do you mean in the machine on the ground to control the drones?
Well, the type of battery is the same.
Okay.
Type.
But these are like handheld drones, or are they bigger than that? My listeners may have like a DJI drone that they fly recreationally. Is it comparable in size?
Yeah, it's pretty close to the Mavic, the size of the Mavics. Okay. Instead of having the camera, it's got a light, an LED light at the bottom of it.
We are chatting with Christian Illumin. He's the founder of Illumin, and he's been a longtime advisor to the airline industry. And no surprise, perhaps, that he's still in the aerial space with drone shows now being used for entertainment purposes. So in the sky, Christian, these are coordinated or synchronized right? Like a light show kind of thing. Can it also be set to music? Is that what you do as well?
Yes. So it's synchronized. All the drones are synchronized by ground-based computers. We control both the aerial acrobatics as well as the LED lights. Mm-hmm. But we also sync that to music to provide that extra consumer experience, full experience for them to not only see such magic in the sky, but to also have it accompanied by music.
Yeah, for sure. And again, you said earlier, this is all controlled by a computer system. So these are not manually flown by a drone expert on the ground. And with that in mind, there's no chance of a mid-air collision or anything like that. These are completely safe to use.
So we've got pilots that are trained as well as software that has systems to monitor that they do remain on the right flight plan.
Sure.
There are ways for us to control the drones if they do, somehow come apart from the choreography.
And the spectators are probably not directly underneath it either.
No, they're not. They're not.
All right. Well, as we wrap up, Christian, so our listeners are from across Canada. So I don't know if anyone's listening was able to hire Illumin, say, in Vancouver or Winnipeg or what have you. But where can we learn more about Illumin and what are your future plans for expansion?
Yeah. So we're excited to be able to say that we're going to be looking to begin operating all over Canada. We want to be able to operate coast to coast from Vancouver all the way to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. For more information, you can find us on our website at illumindroneshows.com or on our Instagram at illumindroneshows. Illumin's Illumin.
And your surname is Illumin, but it's spelled with one L. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thought it'd be creative to play up words.
And the website again is illumindroneshows.com. Illumin droneshows.com. So right now it's just in the Greater Toronto Area?
Currently we're here, Toronto, Picton, eventually into Niagara Falls.
Okay.
As I said, we are excited to be able to start expanding further west and east.
Yeah, awesome. I hope our listeners get a chance to see an example of a drone show on the website. Thank you so much for your time, Christian. Great to chat with you.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
As we wrap up another episode of Tech Talk, a huge thank you to Epson Canada, the folks behind the Epson EcoTank family of all-in-one printers with a ridiculous amount of ink. Head over to epson.ca to learn more. Also, if you're going to recycle your old tech as you're doing some spring cleaning, don't throw it in the garbage. Don't put it in a blue bin. Instead, simply go to recyclemyelectronics.ca, type in your postal code or your address, and you're going to find one of many drop-off locations near you where everything will be completely destroyed and those materials will go into all new tech products. Recyclemyelectronics.ca. Have a great rest of your weekend, everyone, and I'll catch up with you next time for another episode of Tech Talk.